Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
We've all become used to them, from paying for fast track to seat selection. But how important are these ancillary revenues for some of the biggest airlines in the world? Well, for more on this, we're joined by Adam Maguire from the RTE Business Desk. Hello, Adam.
How are you?
So firstly, will you explain what this term ancillary revenues means?
It's a lovely term, just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it's a term airlines and I suppose other businesses use as well. It's kind of the money they make from everything else outside of the core product. So in the case of an airline, the actual plane ticket. So, you know, customer pays their airfare and they get their seat for that, and you know, depending on the airline, they probably don't get an awful lot else. And then that's referred to as the scheduled revenue. And any other money they hand over then for any other kind of extra service is counted as ancillary revenue. Mm-hmm.
And we are, as I said, that we're sort of used to it, but it's a relatively new thing in aviation, isn't it?
It is, in the grand scheme of things, quite a new invention. 30 years ago, really, airlines weren't making much in terms of ancillary revenues. Back then, you know, people paid for their plane ticket. That included most of the things that would be considered extras now. So you got your seat, your assigned seat, you got your bag, carry-on and check-in bag included. Possibly you got a meal as well. There were some ancillary revenues before, you know, the mid-90s, say, you had the likes of in-flight duty-free sales, but they were a very, very small part of an airline's bottom line. The bulk of the money they made was on the ticket, which included everything, really.
So when did it all start to change?
Yeah, it's the mid-90s when we start to see the shift. For us in Ireland and in Europe, really, it's Ryanair adopting the no-frills, low-cost model. The likes of EasyJet also came along in the mid-90s with their own version of low-cost. But even then, the kind of add-on ancillary costs were a bit of a slow burner because, you know, Ryanair, as people might know, was inspired by Southwest Airlines in the US, which was a pioneer of low-cost aviation. But initially, the focus was on cutting costs rather than trying to make money in other ways. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was about, you know, lowering staff levels and flight costs, you know, turnaround times, maintenance costs, kind of squeeze efficiencies out of the airport as much as possible. And of course, trying to make better use of the seats available. So that's this idea that you sell a cheap or cost seat to fill it rather than letting it be empty and you lose money on that effectively. And it's funny because when you look back at some of the reporting around Ryanair in the mid to late 90s, you see how far away the industry was from what we know of the business today. You know, for example, there was a piece in the Irish Times in 97 talking about Ryanair's prospects ahead of its stock market flotation. It pointed out that the planned end of duty-free shopping within the EU was a threat to their business model because at the time they were giving cabin crew a commission on duty-free sales to make up for the low pay, the low kind of core pay that they were getting at the time. And the piece pointed out that, you know, if duty-free sales goes, then that's going to make it less attractive to be a member of the cabin crew in Ryanair. But Ryanair was suggesting that they'd compensate by that by offering a commission on the sale of in-flight food and other goods. And the article says this is hardly plausible.
Will never work
this idea that you sell goods and food on a flight. And in fairness, you know, at the time, you look at the money Ryanair was making, it wasn't from the likes of in-flight food. You know, in their first full year results in 99, ancillary revenues were just 12.5% of total income. The bulk of that was duty-free, which was just about to go at that stage. Some of it also came from commissions on car hire sales, a few million from offering charter services, which they got rid of quite quickly. No mention, though, of food being a money spinner in terms of, and nowadays, of course, as people know, if you get on a Ryanair flight, the food and drink is a big part of their sales pitch while you're sitting.
And you'll hate yourself for buying the bad muffin. But anyway, you'll do it if you're hungry enough. So it was a fairly small part of the sales in the late 90s. When does it become a bigger deal?
Yeah. So ancillary revenues, you know, stay a kind of fairly minor part of the business model really through into the early 2000s. You know, if you look at Ryanair's 2004 results, they make up less than 14% of total revenue. So slightly more than in 99, not by much though. The turning point is 2006. And this is also when we start to get the more familiar Ryanair business model that we're familiar with today, because this is when they announced that they're going to start charging for checked in bags. So it came into place on 16th March 2006, just before Paddy's Day, a whopping €3.50 per checked bag if you paid online. It was double that. It was €7 if you brought it to the airport unannounced and had to check in.
Pennies
there.
Compared to
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they kind of sweetened the deal as well, because they said, look, we're going to up the baggage allowance. We're going to reduce our fees as well to make it the flights themselves cheaper. They said this is revenue neutral. It's all about trying to save money in the airport to make the whole check-in process that bit more efficient and a bit cheaper. And, you know, you can see quite quickly how this change in approach starts to ramp up the importance of ancillary revenues. In the 2007 results, they represent 19% of all revenue, so up from 14%. And within the category, the non-flight scheduled revenues, which essentially is your baggage fees, they represent about two thirds of the total figure of ancillary revenues.
And it grows from there then, if it's at 19% in 2007.
Yeah, 2014 then it's 29% of their total revenue. The latest annual results for 2024, they represented 32% of total revenues, €4.3 billion in revenue from ancillary, so outside of the ticket price itself. And if you compare 2024 to 1999, ticket revenues at Ryanair are 35 times bigger. It's a big, big jump in that amount of time. Ancillary revenues up 116 times compared to 1999. They're probably more profitable as well because, you know, priority boarding isn't really an extra cost to Ryanair. So it's all profit, basically, those kinds of things. Baggage maybe mostly profit for them compared to the seat, which obviously is costing money. And we are talking about Ryanair, but they're not the only ones doing this, of course. Vueling, which has the same owner as Aer Lingus and British Airways, says it's doubled ancillary revenue between 2019 and 2023. Ancillary revenue made up a quarter of total income at EasyJet last year as well. Ryanair, though, is really the master of this, in part because they've so many passengers. Mm-hmm. So there's so many people that you can kind of get them to pay the extras as well. So much more potential for check-in baggage, in-flight food, car hire. They've gotten really sophisticated in their systems as well in terms of convincing people to pay more as well for these extra things. But they've also gradually expanded the kinds of add-ons they offer. You know, it goes all the way from the booking process. So you have your car hire offer, your hotels, your travel insurance, which they get a commission for. You can now pay extras for specific seats or for extra leg room. And then on the flight, there's, you know, goods and foods and drink and all that, not to mention all the other things they do, like we know about the scratch cards. They were trying to sell internet access at one stage, in-flight entertainment, in-flight phone calls. All this is an attempt to kind of, someone was saying to me as well, they were the first to offer the text to confirm your details of your flight, which was an extra little fee, which earned mm-hmm. them millions in a year as well. And this all adds up in ancillary revenues. You know, it's heavily driven by the fact as well that they've gradually hiked up baggage fees. We say it was 350. Now you're looking at somewhere between 19 and 60 euro for a check-in bag.
Yeah, 27 euro each way to take a bag. Yeah, so like, on an Aer Lingus flight, actually. So
yeah, and I probably something similar or more depending as well. So you compare that to 350 or 7 euro back in 2006, like it's a big jump.
The only thing is, I mean, all of those things are choices. People appreciate the low ticket price, you know, still. That's might be why this has shaped consumer behaviour.
Yeah, absolutely. And part of Ryanair's introduction or justification for introducing baggage fees in the first place was, you know, they're having a higher price for those who checked in one at the airport. They're trying to get people to check in online. They're trying to get people to fly without bringing a bag with them as well, and people wanted that as well, but they've also had to replace that as well because they were so successful in encouraging people not to check in a bag. They then had to start charging for the bag you were carrying on as well. That was something Michael years ago said, I don't know how we're going to manage to do it, but he figured it out and now you have to pay for it if you want to bring a big bag on with you as well.
Right, because it's 10k, isn't it?
Yeah, 10k. Yeah. You can have a small bag, like a purse or something like that, but if you want a big bag carried on, you have to pay for that.
Yeah, and they'll stop you, you know.
And they charge a lot. If you get to the airport and you haven't paid for it, they'll pay a lot.
All right, but as you said, you know, we're all used to it now and we all tend to cop.